Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 21 through 27. As I was studying this passage, the thought came to me that every one of us are going to have our day in court one day. We're going to have to stand before God and give a reason and an account of what we've done in our bodies, whether they're good or whether they're bad. It's such a serious thing that we need not consider it lightly. You only get one shot at living in this world, and when it's over, it's over. And then you have all eternity to live with whatever decision you've made in this life. If you fail to make the right decision, you spend eternity in the lake of fire. If you make the right decision, you'll have a home in heaven with Jesus. So it behooves us to try to know exactly how to make the right decision. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 21. Jesus speaking says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of man and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of man and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray that you would remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. And Lord, I pray that you would preach through me the message we need to hear. And Lord, I pray for each one that's here that you would open our understanding. And Lord, I pray for the one that's lost this morning, that you would just touch their heart, that they may see their need of a Savior and understand the gospel, that they might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, he says, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So we need to know what the will of God is. Here in verse 1, look at, he says, the ones that are going to go to heaven are the ones that do the will of the Father. So we need to know what the Father's will is, amen? It's not our will, it's not what the church says, it's not what Brother Allen says, it's what the Word of God says. He reveals His will. In order to see that, we need to see the faith that is required. John chapter 6, verse 37 through 40 says this, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." Now listen to this. "And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him shall have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now I want you to see that. See, this is what he's talking about here. During the time that Jesus was on earth, we had Old Testament saints that were still living. And they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And sure enough, before they died, here he came. And so now they were the Old Testament saints. They were already believers. They were already trusting in God, who would send their Messiah to take away the sins of the world. And because they were already saved, now Jesus takes them, God the Father gives that group of Old Testament saints to his Son to start the church. And so those are the ones that Jesus is referring to when he says, the Father, all those that the Father has given me, I'm not going to lose any of them. I'll raise them up at the last day. It's also the same group that he's talking about when he says, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. They will come to me because it was given to them by the Father. They were already the Father's. Now he's given them to me. But notice, he doesn't stop there. He says, this is the will of him that sent me, that whoever sees the Son and believes on him shall have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So now we have two groups of people, so we have two wills. The one is that all that the Father has given me will come to me, and everyone that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm going to take them to heaven. I'm going to give them eternal life. But then, he said, now for the ones that weren't Old Testament saints, those that have seen the Son and put their faith in him, they're also going to have eternal life. Now I want you to see that believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is what saves us. It is not anything that we do except exercise the faith that God gives us. Where does the faith come from? The faith comes from hearing the gospel message. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, we are totally depraved. We have no good in us. There's nothing in us that could ever seek after God. The Bible says no man seeks after God, but God seeks us like sheep that have gone astray. And so here comes God, and he begins to draw us to himself. And then we hear the gospel message that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead. And that message gives us enough faith to receive Christ as our Savior. Faith comes by hearing the gospel. Now, you either use it or you lose it. If you don't exercise that faith, it goes away. Hopefully you may be drawn to that place again at a later time, but until you are, you can't be saved. You can't just decide to save yourself. You have to have the gospel message. You have to have the faith stirred up within you. And when it is, you can put your trust in Jesus and he'll save you. It's as simple as that. You see, if it was hard, we'd all go to hell. He makes it easy. He has paid the full price for our redemption. There is nothing left to do except to receive it by faith and say, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, save me. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. That's all it takes. If you mean that and you pray that in your heart, God will save you. That's the way he saved me. That's the way he saved the others that are here saved this morning. And so God lays it out for us. And the will of God is to save every one of us. Amen? The Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. God would like to save every one of us. He doesn't pick out a few and say, I want to save these and send the rest of them to hell. No, he says, I want to save every one of them. Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It is not the rejection on God's part that sends men to hell. It's the rejection on man's part of God. And so whenever you hear the gospel and you know in your heart that Jesus will save you, call upon his name and be saved. Once we're saved, the next step is to publicly profess Christ as our Savior. Jesus said, anybody that's ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of him before my Father which is in heaven. You don't want that. You see, we need to tell the world that we're Christians. And we need to be baptized. Because baptism pictures to the world what's taken place in our heart. We're buried with him in the likeness of his death. We're raised to walk in newness of life. And so baptism pictures what's already taken place in our heart. So we need to publicly profess faith in Christ and then follow him in believers' baptism. You say, what about forgiveness? There's not a person that's ever come to Christ that didn't have a whole lot of sin that needed to be forgiven. Amen? Forgiveness is a gift from God. Now listen to this. Isaiah 1:18. I love this verse. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now he uses this extreme example to show us that there's nobody that's too sinful to be saved. He says, if you think about something made out of wool, he said, though your sins be as scarlet, just bright red, saturated with sin, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. You see, God is able to forgive sin. Now, how many sins does God forgive? It's easy to get caught up in the idea that God just forgives our sins up to the time of our salvation and then we're on our own after that. But the truth is, Jesus died on the cross long before I ever started being a sinner. And he had to die for my sins as a package deal from my birth to my death. Jesus died for some of the sins I haven't done yet, but he paid the penalty for all of them. When you receive salvation and forgiveness, you receive a package deal. Every sin you will ever commit in all of your life is paid for. Forgiveness covers it all. And then, being forgiven, we have freedom. Listen to this. 1 John 3:9. This is a powerful verse. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, first time I read that, I said, uh-oh, I didn't get that, because I can still sin. But you see what he's talking about there is the spirit part of us that is born again. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we are dead in our spirit, and he makes us alive and then seals us into the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. And from that moment on, when we sin, our spirit does not participate. You say, well, what about the sins of my flesh? One of these days, the Bible says that we have this treasure of salvation in an earthen vessel. And one of these days, we're going to die. And when we die, the body is going to return to the dust with all of its sinfulness, with all of its sinful nature. All of that will stay behind, and the spirit will go back to the Lord who gave it. And we will then be perfect, and we will be what we've always wanted to be as Christians, and that is sinless. There is a tremendous freedom in that. In Romans chapter 7, Paul describes the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. He says, the things that I want to do, I can't do. And what I hate, that's what I do. We can all relate to that because there is a warfare, a struggle that goes on all the time. And the more we can put sin out of our flesh, the better off we are. The more we can walk in his spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, the better off we are. And so as Christians, it is an ongoing struggle to try to eliminate all of the sin that we can eliminate. Now I want you to look at the work. This is important. If you witness to 100 people next week, 99 of that 100 people who are lost will tell you, I believe if there's more good in my life than there is bad, I'll make it to heaven. You know why people come to that conclusion? Well, first off, it's the help of the devil. But you see, the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. It just stands to reason, if sin's what's going to send me to hell, the way to get to heaven would be to stop sinning. And so we try that. That doesn't work, so we say, okay, if that's not it, it must be that you just have to have more good in your life than you do bad. And that's what everybody seems to come to the conclusion of. And so we need to see what God says about work. Look what he says here in verse 22 and 23 of our text. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now the key phrase in that is the word, the phrase work iniquity. Iniquity is self-will. It is doing whatever I think will contrive well for my soul and hoping that that will somehow satisfy the wrath of God on my behalf. The good works that I do are wonderful things, but they have nothing to do with my salvation. We have to understand that. You see, if your faith is in your good works, then your faith is not in Jesus. You cannot have faith in Jesus Christ and faith in your good works. It's either all of grace or it's all of works. You can't mix those two things. A whole lot of people are going to go to hell just like these people that he's talking about right here because they have part of their faith in Jesus and part of it in their good works. I'm a member of the church. I pay my tithes. I help little old ladies across the street. I do all kinds of good things. I'm a good neighbor. I never hurt anybody and don't kill people. Where's your faith? You see, we have to get down to the point of saying, my goodness is filthy rags. There's nothing I can do to merit God's salvation. And my hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's salvation. If I try to add works to that to somehow satisfy my own feeling in my heart, and my faith is in that, then I'm going to miss heaven. That's what he means when he says, depart from me, ye that work self-will. You that are doing it yourself. You that have part of your confidence in what you do. Remember the parable of the pearl of great price? It's such a beautiful picture of this one thing we're talking about. He says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man seeking goodly pearls. Now, why is he seeking goodly pearls? In this parable, he has had God reveal to him that there is a heaven, there's a hell. He knows that the wrath of God is upon him because of sin. And so he begins to collect goodly pearls. He's doing good things. He goes to church. He does this. He does that. He tries not to cuss. He tries not to do all these things that he thinks will make him a better person, more acceptable in heaven. And all of that he does until one day, the Bible says, he finds that one pearl of great price. That's Jesus. Now notice, you can't add Jesus to your pearl collection. He had to liquidate. And what you buy Jesus with is faith. And so he had to liquidate all of the faith that he had in everything else and put all of his faith on Jesus. He couldn't afford the pearl of great price until he sold all of his other pearls. You see that? It's the same thing with us. We have got to have no confidence in our flesh whatsoever. All of our confidence is in Jesus Christ. And we put our trust in Jesus Christ, then we are saved. Justification is by faith without the deeds of the law. Listen to Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, don't get me wrong here. The law is not bad. God didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled the law on our behalf. He kept the law to the letter. He never sinned one time in thought, word, or deed. And then he took all the sins of the world upon him and took that to the cross and then paid the penalty of the wrath of God for all mankind. Now, what about the law now? It's still wrong to steal. It's still wrong to kill. But you see, that's a part of sanctification, not salvation. Sanctification is a process. We may take one step forward and two steps back. We may struggle a lot in the sanctification process, but salvation has nothing to do with keeping the law. Now, after you're saved, you need to learn how, by the grace of God, to keep God's holy law. It's the best way you can live your life. It is the description of righteousness. And so whenever we learn how to walk in the Spirit, then we will keep God's holy law because we're going to love one another. The Bible says if we love one another, we fulfill the law. We're not going to hurt one another if we love one another. And so justification comes through faith without keeping the law. Part of my faith is not in what I do. All of my faith is in what Jesus did for me on the cross. What about judgment? Listen to John 5, 24 through 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Folks, let that sink in. If you have heard the gospel and you've believed on Jesus, you will not come into condemnation. But you have already passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You see, we're going to have to stand before God. And I want to be at the judgment seat of Christ, not at the great white throne. Those are the two judgments, you see. And he guarantees us, if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we will not come into condemnation. You won't have to go to the great white throne if your faith is in Jesus Christ. You'll be at the judgment seat of Christ to receive or lose reward, but that's as far as it goes. What about justice? How can God just wipe away all my sins? Think about that. Here is God who makes these holy rules. I break those rules and still he pronounces me justified. How does he do that? Romans chapter 3, verse 24 through 26 says this: being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That word simply means he paid the wrath for our sins. Through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, God has been satisfied. That's the reason we can be before God just as if we had never sinned, because Jesus paid the penalty for all of our sins there on the cross. And all my sins are under the blood, and therefore I will never have to answer for those sins ever again. Thank God for that. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He has given us righteousness as a free gift because he has taken the wrath in our place. And now we have justification of our sins. Now I want you to see this last point. I think it's very important. That is the whosoever. Notice what he says here. Verse 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now I want you to understand, this is the invitation given by Jesus at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. In his Sermon on the Mount, he begins telling us what our attitudes ought to be. This is for all humanity. Every human ought to have these attitudes. And then he begins to tell us about the actions, what our actions ought to be. And all through that, he's giving the philosophy that a human ought to exhibit. This is what we ought to want in our lives. If we buy into his philosophy, we build our house upon the rock. But if we say, I can't do that, I've got my rights, I'm not going to let anybody run over me, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, nobody's going to tell me what to do, and we rebel against all of that, he says, you're a fool. You're building your house on the sand, and it will fall. Now, I want you to notice something else. Both those who build on the rock and those who build on the sand are going to experience alike all kinds of wind, all kinds of rain. You see, the trials of life hit everybody, the saint and the sinner. The difference is one stands, one falls. Now, why does God do that? He sends the rain to test your roof. He sends the wind to test your walls. He sends the flood to test your foundation. I thank God that God doesn't just let people go through life thinking they're saved when they're lost. If you're lost, if you're pretending to be saved and you're not really saved, God is going to show you many, many times in your life you need faith in Jesus. You need to turn from self as Savior and confess Christ as your Savior. Repentance is from dead works. Dead works are all those things that we try to do to save ourselves. And we repent from those dead works and we turn in faith to Jesus Christ, who is the only one who can save us. God tests our foundation to let us know in plenty of time to make the correction. Put all of our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's look at the call. Revelation 22:17. I love this. The Spirit and the bride say come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know who whosoever covers? That's everybody. Jesus wants to save everybody. If you're here this morning, it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, where you're going. Jesus wants to save you if you're lost. He wants you to have a home in heaven with him. And he says here, the Spirit is speaking to people and calling them to Christ. The Spirit says, come. The bride, the church says, come. And all who have received Christ and we've heard this message and we've received the gospel, we say come. And whosoever will, they drink the water of life freely. There's plenty to go around. Whosoever will, let him come. Look at the cross. Whosoever was also at the cross, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the son is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The confidence that we have in Christ is that what he has promised, he will fulfill. My hope in Jesus Christ is not based on my performance. If it were, I'd be a mess. My hope is built on the promise of God. That if I put my trust in him, it is a finished work that I receive. He didn't just begin a work in me, he will finish that work. And he won't just begin a work in you, he'll finish what he has started. And he'll give you a home in heaven, no matter what. Listen to Romans 10:8-17. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now listen to this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Done deal. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I want to just wrap this up. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, maybe you've got a lot of good things in your life that you've done, and that's wonderful. But that won't take you to heaven. You've heard the gospel this morning, that Jesus died for your sins according to the scripture. He paid for every sin that you've ever done or ever will do. If you put your trust in the finished work of Jesus on the cross, he'll save you. Now that creates faith within the heart. And so when you hear this, you can be saved right now this morning by putting your trust in Jesus. Jesus talks about the word when it goes out, if it falls by the wayside, the birds come and they eat it up. How does that translate into this morning? If you don't respond in faith, the devil will come and snatch it away. And you won't be able to be saved until he draws you to that place again. This is an opportunity. I would challenge you this morning, right where you sit, if you know in your heart you've never received Christ as your Savior, ask Jesus to forgive your sins and save you, be the Lord of your life. He'll save you just like that. Then when we have the invitation, you just step out and come down here and say, I have received Christ as my Savior. Or if you need for me to pray with you, I will do that. Don't leave here without Christ. He's done way too much to bring salvation to you. Don't leave here without Jesus. Maybe you're here and you've been saved, but you doubt your salvation a lot. That's common because we're all sinners. Reaffirm your confidence in what Christ has done for you this morning. Because as long as you're struggling with this thing of maybe I'm lost, maybe I'm saved, you'll never grow. Salvation is a finished work. Accept that and put your confidence in what he's done for you. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus that died for our sins. As unworthy as we are, we don't deserve to go to heaven, but Lord, you've made a way for us, and we thank you for that. And Lord, there may be one here this morning, or two or three, that's never received Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray that you would lead them to that place of accepting Jesus. Forgive their sins and save them, Lord, and make them a home in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.